Hello and welcome to Perfectly Paranormal, episode 71. My name's Anna Schmidt, and I'm here every week to share with you true paranormal encounters and information about devils, demons, and dark energy beings that no one else dares talk about. Like, seriously, I talk about some stuff that make people cringe. But it's all true. It's all real. I'm here to share it with you. And today, we are speaking with Brett Reeder. Brett is a mate of mine and a very keen paranormal enthusiast. And he's here today to share some of his fascinating personal paranormal experiences. And some of the things that shocked him, some of the things that made him laugh. And also, one particular experience that melted his heart. Now, that one was truly fascinating, an experience that he'll never forget. Please note that Brett didn't have an external microphone when recording this interview, so the sound quality isn't really top-notch. But you know what? Doesn't really matter. You'll enjoy his stories and experiences just as much as I did. So sit back and get ready to hear what Brett has to say about his paranormal adventures. So welcome, Brett.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
You're welcome. I love communicating with people from all around the world who've experienced paranormal anomalies. They have paranormal stories to share. So it's wonderful to have you here. I know we've had a conversation already, so I know some of your backstory, but would you like to share with people how you got into paranormal experiences, what it was like when you were a child, and sort of what led you into this love of the paranormal?
Thinking back into the early days, I sort of had touches of paranormal from my late teens, and I had a girlfriend, and I went to a mum's place one night. And she said to me, I met her for the first time, and she said to me, have you told him? And she said, no. And I looked down and said, oh, dear. I looked, thinking, well, my mind started racing, thinking, what have I walked into? My girlfriend said, I don't know if you believe it or not, but my mum's house is haunted. It's got some residents. I said, oh, cool. I was open-minded. If something happens, it happens, but I didn't expect to see anything. Couple of weeks later, when I was with my girlfriend, we were sitting on the bed talking, and next minute the cat was sitting on the bed with us, got up, and it just hissed at a corner of the bedroom. It had its hair standing up, and my girlfriend had picking his dog, and it had arthritis, and it couldn't move very quickly. But on this occasion, boy, that thing moved. It barking at the corner, and it took off. It was trying to get traction on the vinyl floor, and it was slipping, and it virtually was going sideways around the corners, like it was going that quick to try to get out of the room. That's the only real experience I had in the house. So that was probably the earliest time that I had any signs of paranormal experience.
When we had our conversation at the cafe that day, you were telling me about your first home. Now, you had some really interesting experiences that you had there. Would you like to share them with the listeners today?
Yeah, I would, yeah. I married my girlfriend and bought the house on the back fence of my mother-in-law's. That was okay, and it's quite handy at times. And you go want to go see the in-laws, you just go over the back fence. But apparently the houses were built on a hill, and the rumour was there was a cemetery on that hill. A bullet team ran through the cemetery and smashed down all the gravestones, and they didn't know where the gravestones went. And so I removed the cemetery altogether and built the houses on it. So I don't know if the residents from that cemetery populated the houses or not in that area. Quite an interesting story that I could explain why we had residents in our buildings. But yes, I lived in the house over the back fence. Never saw anything for a very long time happening in my house, but I always heard little stories of little things happening at my mother-in-law's place. And she said, oh, I had my auntie here, and something happened, and she got terrified, and she went running out of the house and that. And I said, oh, that's great. But I haven't seen anything, and up to me when my daughter was a teenager, and I started seeing some strange things happening. I go past her bedroom and she had the door shut, and I hear her talking to someone, and I knock on the door and poke my head in, and there was no one there. She didn't have a mobile phone. She wasn't on a laptop. She was just in there talking to someone. I thought, well, that's strange. At night time, I go past and she was talking to someone, and I tap on the door and I wish her good night. She's sleeping on the floor under the doona. Later on, she told me that a certain young man who used to visit her used to play jokes on her or do things to her, like remove the doona off her while she's trying to sleep on a cold night and turn the electric fan on to make her feel even colder and that sort of stuff. And then I noticed any mirrors in the room that they're all covered up. And later I found out she used to see him in the background while she was like brushing her hair or something, and he'll be standing in the background taunting her. So she ended up putting a cloth over the mirror.
That must have been really hard for her to understand who that was and why it was there. Did she feel uncomfortable mentioning that to you? Did she sort of worry that you might think she might be a little bit crazy?
I think she didn't know how to approach the subject, and to a mum who sort of understood that side of things a bit better, she probably had more of a conversation with her than what she did with me. But didn't seem to bother that much. Like, he wasn't overly, he used to throw things at her and come out of the bedroom with bruises on her arm. I probably don't know what we could have done to get him to move on.
I do wonder why he was in the room. I'm sorry to hear that he was hurting your daughter by throwing things at her. Sounds to me like he was a little bit upset or a little bit angry. Maybe there'd been a building there before that house was built and he's attached to that building. Or he could have lived there in that home before you moved in. Who knows? Or he could have come from the cemetery.
She said that he's what he was wearing was sort of set back in the early days. And there was a lady that appeared there as well, and she was really nice. But she was dressed in big flowing dresses and that, so.
Your daughter sounds very psychic, like she can see these people, she can feel them, she knows they're there. And the other thing is, too, he might have been showing himself to her because maybe he wanted help. If she's very psychic, but she doesn't know it and she doesn't know how to use those skills, he might have been showing himself to her to say, please help me. Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
I've been told through a medium that she has got a gift in that, and she's more gifted than she knows about. So I don't know if she ever wanted to pursue that. There was a few years after that when our marriage was breaking down, and a lot going on in the house. Bad energy was in the house. And one night I was on an afternoon shift and I went to bed early to get some sleep. I ended up getting woken up by someone poking me on the arm. And I woke up and looked around the room, and there was no one in the room. And then I went back to sleep. Then I woke up again, and due to someone poking me again, and then I thought, well, I'm not going to get any sleep, so I might as well get up. So I got up, and my wife said to me, he said, oh, how come you up? And I said, well, I think we got a visitor. And so I sat on the floor, and she said, yeah, we have got a visitor. The visitor is right beside you. And I said, oh, no, I can feel them. And she said, yeah, they're sitting right beside you. Hour went by, an hour and a half went by, and then I felt nothing beside me. And then I thought, well, it's time to go to bed because I've got to go get up for a day shift the next day. And I was on the afternoon shift, and there was no one in the house. The kids were at school. My wife went and visited mum over the fence, totally alone in the house. And I got rudely awakened. And what happened is I felt something touch me backside, which really startled me.
I can imagine it would. Oh my goodness.
I sort of woke up and looked around the room, and there was no one there. And I was like a newborn baby laying on the mattress. I went to get the doona, and it was totally gone. It had been completely pulled down to the end of the bed. It wasn't just flicked off to the side. The doona was completely pulled off the bed, and the sheet as well. The whole lot was on the floor. And I thought, yep, I'm not sticking around. So I've got.
We can laugh about it now. Wouldn't have been funny at the time, though.
It terrified me a little bit. The poking on the arm and this incident was the only two incidents that I have had the whole time living in the house. And we've been living in the house quite a series of times. And I'm getting up and getting dressed, and I'm out of there. I ended up running into a work counsellor at work. He was doing the rounds. I mentioned it to him, and He said to me, he said, "Oh, you look startled." And I said, "Well, I am a bit." And I told him the story. And he goes, "Oh, well," he said, "that's a little bit out of my skill set. So I don't know how to help you on that one." I said, "What if it happens again?" Well, he said, "I suggest you sell your house."
Oh dear, oh dear. The blackbird experience. I'm dying for you to tell people. Sorry, probably a poor choice of words there. It would be great if you could share about the blackbird that was in your bedroom and the sort of the occurrences that occurred after that.
That was an interesting day. That was, wow. Well, a lot going on that one day. I had to sell the house and I found a new partner, and I was living further up the northwest coast. I had to put the house on the market, and all that do is just clean me furniture out, and that's all I had to do. So I got a friend, an old work colleague, to help give me a hand clean it out. And he just lived down the road, and he had a ute, so it was handy to transport everything up to the tip. He got there and he said, I'll come up." And this is towards the end of the cleaning up stage. We've been in there a good couple of weeks cleaning the house up. He went underneath the house with me. The workshop had all my belongings that I wanted to keep, but right underneath the house was old dryers, ironing boards, a lot of junk stuff that had to be taken up to the tip. He was cleaning the under house section and I was cleaning the workshop. And he told me to go up underneath the house with him. And this is probably the second last day in the house. I was given the keys over in a couple of days. So he was really pushed to get everything out. And he told me to come underneath the house with him. And he told me, just standing. He said, "I'll clean all this out, what was left." And he said, "You're standing." And I just stood there and wondering what I was doing, just looking around. I stepped out in the workshop. Well, he closed the door right behind him. I said to him, "You all right?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm fine. We've got all this section done. Let's go back up in the top side of the house." I said, "We've got to start pulling the curtains down." Well, he removed some wardrobes and they already went to the tip. And that, and so it was only me bed left in the room with the curtains. And he said, I'll go to your bedroom to remove the curtains." And I said, "Yeah, I'll start removing the curtains in the lounge room, start putting them in the garbage bag." So he disappeared down the bedroom. Next minute, I heard him yelling out. I went down the scene. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "There was a black bird where the wardrobe used to be. And we only moved that day." And he said, "We've been here the whole time. We've never seen the black bird come in the house. And now we've got a dead black bird in my bedroom, just laying there." He freaked out and he said, I can't. I'll grab the curtains and drag them out to the lounge room and pack them in the garbage bag. And I said, "Okay." So we got out of that room and removed the black bird later. When he went home, came out the lounge room and was putting the curtains into the garbage bag. And I told him to stop. And he goes, "What?" And I said, "There's a tarot card stuck to the curtain." And you wouldn't believe it, but it was the tarot card of death. Now, I know death is not necessary, people die, but that was it. That was enough to tip him over. And he said, No, I can't stay." So he went out to the driveway and started roping down the stuff we had on the ute. And I started loading more curtains into the garbage bag. Heard my name called out, "Brett, Brett, come and help me, come and help me." So I went running out to the driveway, looked around at the ute. He wasn't there. And here he is. It was under the conifer on the front lawn. I said, "What are you doing down there?" And he goes, "It pushed me, Brett. It pushed me." I said, "What pushed you?" It pushed me. He said, "I did up the rope 20 times. It unraveled, the knot unraveled in front of his eyes and then pushed him off the driveway onto me front lawn."
Wow.
I said, "That's it. We shut up the house. We'll take the stuff up to the tip." And we went back to his place and he sat down and had a cup of tea or to calm himself down. It really, really freaked him out. And he said, "My daughter, I walk her to school and she always falls over in front of your house. There's nothing there on the footpath to trip over."
Yep.
And I said, "Well, I suggest you walk on the other side of the road." Yeah, that was really interesting.
Wow, that sounds like it sounds like a place I'd like to get into and do some house clearing just to find out the history of the home and why the spirits are there. And it might actually have not been a spirit, it might have been something else. But we won't go down that track because we're not here to talk about what I think these things are. Now, Brett, you love doing paranormal tours. I
Yes.
had this conversation, you really do. Now, we're not going to mention this particular facility. We're not going to mention the name of this facility in Tasmania that you like to visit. But would you like to share some of your experiences and how you're actually related to this particular place?
Year 2019, where I seen some Facebook posts of these paranormal tours south of Tasmania. And I thought, well, this would be interesting. I wouldn't mind doing one of these to see what they're all about, see if there's any interaction or. So I did a tour, but I was hooked. Dragged me poor wife along to them and that, and she ended up enjoying it as well. So it really opens your mind to the other side. And I've even been to South Australia and done three tours over there.
Fabulous. Would you like to tell us about the west coast of Tasmania? Now, again, we're not going to mention the place, but those of you who know me will know where this place is. It's a particular facility that's not used anymore. That's all we'll say. We're not allowed to name it. But Brett goes there quite often. And would you like to share with our listeners some of your lovely experiences that you've had at this facility?
I'll go down the West Coast and I use the opportunity to go visit one of your friends. And she runs tours at this old medical facility. And I happen to have been born in the town, and all my family comes from that town as well. And I go there, and the tour guide let me in, and she took me all over this medical facility. And I said, I actually was back here in mid-80s. I was actually working for a company which helped do the upgrades to the kitchen. Nice to walk back in time. And so we went for a bit of a tour, and the tour guide said, well, you're happy to just walk around? And I said, I'd like to go back to the kids' ward, and I like to sit there and read some books to them. And she said, oh, they'll love that. So I went to the kids' ward and got some books, and I started re reading to the resident children within that facility. But while I was reading to them and that, and I was thinking, well, I can't see them. I may feel them,
Yep.
but I can't see them. So I started down the track of finding some of my own equipment,
Nice.
EMF readers and spirit boxes and that sort of equipment. And that's so I asked the tour guide, I can set up some paranormal gear. I went down there and done another tour. So I set some cat balls up on three books. And I said to the kids, which book do you want me to read? And nothing happened. And so I started off reading the one of the smaller books to read, and I read the book, and I said, is there any out of the other two, which book do you want me to read? Well, at that point, the cat ball went off on what was their favourite book. I picked that book up and continued reading. So yeah, it was really, really great. And each time I go down there, the tour guide says, oh, they're really excited to have you back again. And first thing I do is go in and read some books with him. And then I'll go visit other residents in other parts of the facility. It's really good to have that connection with the spirit world, keep the spirits happy and that, and enjoy my company. And so I'm not gifted enough to see them. I can feel them, but I can't see them.
Yeah, but that's okay. Not everyone has the same psychic skills. I mean, I'm like you. I feel what's around us. Occasionally I see them, occasionally I hear them, but generally it's that body reaction of feeling the change in the energetic environment around us. Now, you've stayed at the nurses' home on that site. Did you have any interesting experiences that you'd like to share about staying there?
A funny story. Well, I decided to push the envelope once again. I'd just like to take it to the next level. And I thought, what better way to push yourself to the next level is actually sleep somewhere where you know there's residents and good residents as well. And sleep somewhere where I know there could be a bit of action. And the kids are only across in the other building because they could visit me as well. So while I was sleeping, I started to set up one of the phone apps, one of the ghost phone apps, to record myself sleeping. So I did, but I had it down, had the volume down, so I didn't hear the words being read out to me. And it was really funny because when I played it back, I only recorded myself for an hour. And when I played it back, it was like it was a three-way conversation with probably two nurses and a male, and said, Judy, get out of there. It was like having a three-way conversation, and someone mentioned Ralph. So it was Ralph there and Judy, and it was Jane. all the words that was coming up in this app were saying, "Oh, please get out, come out of there. We don't sort of come out of there. We don't know who he is," sort of thing. It's sort of all these words were popping up in this app, and it sort of gave me a feeling that they was all there wondering who I was and why I was in this poor nurse's bedroom. Well,
Oh dear.
unknown to me, I was off to sleep, and I heard one of the words that came up was homeless. So I thought that was quite interesting, where they thought I was just a homeless bum, just a homeless person, just walked into this facility and found a nice comfy bed and went to sleep.
Is so funny.
And then after that, they said, "Who is he?" After that, I got woken up, head down to the toilet down the hall. And when I was in the cubicle, the light went out. I thought, that's great. Well, I know where the emergency light is, so I opened the cubicle door and pushed the light 10 to 15 seconds, but the main light came back on. I thought, oh, someone must be playing around with the light. So I finished my business and went back to the bedroom. And I lay down the bed, and you wouldn't believe it, but I heard like someone breathing, like a soft breathing, or maybe a female. It wasn't a heavy breathing, it was a soft breathing of someone sleeping. So maybe Jane or Judy must have drifted off to sleep while I went to the toilet. And then, and when I reviewed the continuing review in the app, and when I came back from the toilet, at one point there, it was someone said, "Move over." Like I was taking up all the bed. And then I just drifted off to sleep and didn't wake up till the next morning. That was a really interesting night.
That is totally fascinating. I've actually stayed in that same facility, that same nurse's home. I always had room 22, and I'd be there with my laptop because I'd go and visit my friend in that town for a week. So I'd stay in that accommodation and I'd have my laptop. And in those days, it was a laptop that had a CD player in it.
Yeah.
So I'd take movies with me and I'd put a movie in and I kept them very, how can I put it? G-rated. So no
Yeah.
violence, nothing inappropriate, because it was a nurse's home. There are children on the site. And lo and behold, as soon as I put these movies on, I just remembered they like musicals. So
Oh,
things
really?
like Sound of Music was one of their favorite movies. Oh my gosh, I got so sick of watching that. But I'd put it on and they'd hear the music. And I would feel them coming through the door. Because these are little rooms, like these used to be nurses' quarters. So it's basically a single bed, a wardrobe, and a mirrored sort of table desk type thing. They're
Yes.
very, very simple rooms. I'd feel these beings come through the door and they'd slide up alongside the wall and they'd just sort of snuggle in on my
Yes.
lap and just sit and watch the movie with me. Like they loved it. It was so much fun. But
Yeah.
it was just, they were very much like kids' movies and very sort of simple movies because that building, I know a little bit of the history of that place from my friend, that the nurse's home was built on top of another building that burnt down on that site. Now,
Oh,
it
really?
used to be the infectious diseases ward because this town on the west coast of Tasmania, my friend said that it was the major hospital facility in that era, back in the mid 1800s, right through to the year 2000 when it was closed. I hope I've got the dates right. But there used to be the infectious diseases ward there. So anyone that had a disease that was infectious, obviously, would go there to be separated from the general hospital residency.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So there'd be a lot of spirits there, even though people go, oh, but it's a nurse's home. Why is there a young man there? I've met lots of spirits through there. And on my YouTube channel, I'm going to share some little videos from the sitting room and some of my little experiences with my paranormal
Yeah.
devices. Lots of people there. There's children, there's young men, there's young ladies. There's, of course, the nursing staff. There'd be the matrons, possibly a few doctors wandering in and out. But just because it's the nurse's home now, which in those days would have just been females, because it's old school. There's young men there as well. Like, I think it was it Ralph that you
Yeah,
mentioned
Ralph.
his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, he may have been one of these young people that may have passed away from polio or scarlet fever or some
Yeah.
illness that they didn't have cures for. But it's fascinating the spirits that get around. Is there any other stories you'd like to share with us today, Brett?
I remember on one of the Halloween tours down the south of Tasmania. I was in one of the buildings. I had a theopolis, which is like a spirit, spits out words.
Now, I'm jumping in here just for a minute. I've actually used an ovulus myself, and it is a very handy paranormal investigation device. Now, I don't understand everything about it, but I do know that it has 8 different modes that it can use to measure different levels of energy in the environment, but also different types of spirit communication. Now, the mode that most people use with the ovulus is called the dictionary mode. And spirits, somehow, don't ask me how, but they're actually able to select words to communicate what they want to say. Now, I think that somehow they find the words within this electronic device. They can find the words through the frequency or the vibration of the words, and they communicate them on the screen. Now, this device does work, and I know that it is highly accurate. So let's get back to Brett's story as we hear what else he has to say.
It was really quiet. It didn't do much, and I had a cat ball with me. I went into what I believe was Mary Ann's room, and I set the cat ball on the doll, hoping to get some interaction through the doll. But nothing happened. And I was talking and trying to get some words come through the office, and nothing happened. And now, I sort of gave up, and I thought, oh, well, that's okay. It's like approaching 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, respectfully, I said, oh, sorry, Marianne, if I kept you awake. We're here on Halloween. We decided to come over, and we just got dressed up for the occasion, come over and decided to have a chat with you. And I really apologise if I kept you awake, because it is early in the morning, and I'll go. So I bent over to pick the cat ball up. And the ovulus started spitting out these words. Well, I don't know what the ovulus said, because I was blown away when I felt like a warm hand touch me side of the face to say, oh, you sweet thing. Thank you for being so respectful and out of my sleep and everything. And that's how it felt. And I felt all my energy was starting to drain and sort of staggered out of the room. And then I ran into the tour guide and she said, oh, are you all right? And I said, yeah, it's all cool. I think I've just been touched on the side of the face. And the best feeling I had from the spirit from the other side that I really enjoyed reading to the children and that. And it's really great to have that interaction. But to have something happen like that to me, and a good thing too, it was really comforting that I was doing the right thing by the residents.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I find respect goes a long way. And you actually thought, about the time of the day, why you were sort of dressed the way you were, because I don't know what you were dressed as costume-wise, but they wouldn't be used to seeing people going through that building in costumes. Because sometimes these people are, you've got to think, these people are from mid-1800s. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have the technology that we've got. But you were so respectful. You'll carry that memory with you now through every tour that you go through. You'll use that respect, and that memory will be with you forever.
Yeah, that sure does. And since being listened to your podcast, I've listened to all your podcasts, and I've got some good medium friends and that I associate with, and opens my mind to that world. My journey so far has been really interesting. Been to another place down there where we had a cat ball sitting on a bottle of whiskey, and it looked like it had been slapped off the top of the whiskey bottle, because it flew off the top of the whiskey bottle and hit the back wall. Sort of speed that it actually hit the back wall in such a violent projection. And strangely enough, there was permanent cameras fixed up in the room that go all the time, recording. Strange reading, that video footage wasn't there anymore. EMF tripwire, which has got a series of EMF readers in a wire running across the judge's bench, and that lit up at the same time, just lit up, and at the same time as the ball went flying across the room. So it's been a very interesting journey so far.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much for being with us today, Brett. The listeners will have loved hearing all your experiences.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, I thank you. It's been great.
Thank you.
So in episode 72, we are talking emotions and the paranormal connection. Carol in Yorkshire in the UK asks, Please explain what emotional imprints are and why they attract ghosts and other paranormal beings, because I just don't get it. So what I'm going to do is share what I know, and this is all from my own personal paranormal experiences. It's what I've observed, what I've documented for myself, but then when I started working with other people, removing emotional imprints, removing paranormal beings, and finding the connection about why they were around people, and how I know that emotional energetic imprints are really a thing, like they are real. So I'm also going to share with you what you can do to lessen or avoid attracting paranormal entities to yourself. So I look forward to seeing you in episode 72. So thank you for joining me today. And don't forget, if you want to share a paranormal experience just with myself, or you would like me to share one of your experiences through my podcast, you can do a voice recording, or you can write out your experience and I will read it exactly as you have written. You can email me at spiritualbeing44@gmail.com. And for information on paranormal house clearing, you can visit my website, Spiritual Being. You will find the address in the description box. And I look forward to sharing this spooky space again with you next week. And remember, life is perfectly paranormal.